The family of a Comair 5191 victim is awarded $7 million from the airline. The U.S. House has temporarily extended FAA funding. And an independent review panel will look into last month's FTI failure. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 10th, 2009. A jury has awarded $7 million to the survivors of Brian Keith Woodward, who was a passenger aboard Comair Flight 5191, one of 49 people who died when the crew attempted takeoff from the wrong runway at Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky on August 27, 2006. Takeoff was supposed to happen from runway 22. Runway 26 proved too short. There have been lots of lawsuits against Comair, but Woodward's is the only one to reach trial. ABC News reports that the award is just the first phase of the lawsuit. A separate jury will consider whether the Delta subsidiary was guilty of gross negligence. If that's the case, the family could be eligible for additional punitive damages. The NTSB determined the probable causes were the flight crew's failure to use available cues and aids to identify the airplane's location on the airport surface during taxi, their failure to cross-check and verify that the airplane was on the correct runway before takeoff, non-pertinent conversation during taxi resulting in a loss of positional awareness, and the FAA's failure to require specific air traffic control clearances for all runway crossings. In February of this year, Bluegrass Airport closed runway 826 and replaced it with a new, longer, realigned runway. The funding authorization for the FAA and its programs, which expired in 2007, has been extended temporarily yet again by the U.S. House of Representatives. H.R. 4217 is an extension through the end of March 2010. Now that it's passed the House, the Senate will have to do the same. Representative James Oberstar, a Minnesota Democrat who chairs the House Transportation Committee, hinted at frustration with the Senate. Quote, "Although the House passed an FAA reauthorization bill last Congress, the Senate did not, resulting in the need for a series of short-term extension acts that, unfortunately, continues to this day," unquote. House Aviation Subcommittee Chair Jerry Costello, an Illinois Democrat, says there are consequences to the Senate's inaction. Quote, "Short-term extensions and uncertain funding levels can be disruptive to the aviation industry and communities, because they do not allow them to plan for long-term growth. Frankly, every month that goes by without a long-term FAA authorization is a lost opportunity to improve aviation safety, security, and to create and maintain jobs around the country," unquote. The current extension expires December 31st, when Congress will not be in session. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt has announced the formation of an independent review panel to examine the November 19th outage of the FAA Telecommunications Infrastructure, or FTI. A group of experts will survey FTI's architecture and management and recommend changes to improve its reliability. The four-hour outage last month began at 5 a.m. Eastern Time and required controllers to manually process flight plan data. The FAA blamed a software configuration problem in Salt Lake City for the outage and stressed that there was no evidence of a cyber attack. Babbitt was reportedly already meeting with representatives of the vendor, Harris Corporation, later the same day of the outage. Up next on ANN, Boeing's second 787 assembly line will have its own separate supply chain. 178 U.S. congressmen want unions to have an easier time getting certified. And Republic Airways adds 300 jobs in Indianapolis, but cuts 140 in Denver. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing is not being bashful in admitting that its new South Carolina assembly plant for the 787 Dreamliner will be built with an eye toward redundancy as a hedge against future union work stoppages in the Seattle area. The company says it will contract with suppliers outside the Puget Sound area to produce all 787 parts so that its second Dreamliner line in Charleston can operate independently. Boeing spokesman Jim Prulks tells the Seattle Times that Boeing will be able to continue to build the Dreamliner even if Washington area machinists go on strike. Quote, "Repeated labor disruptions have affected our performance in our customers' eyes. We have to show we can be a reliable supplier to them," unquote. He tells the paper that the South Carolina line, quote, "has to be able to go on regardless of what's happening over here," unquote. Ray Goforth, executive director of the Society for Professional Engineering Employees and Aerospace, which is the white-collar union at Boeing, told the Times the decision means Boeing could be considering getting out of the manufacturing business in the Pacific Northwest. Quote, "Why would you keep duplication of industrial capacity?" unquote. Boeing has warned Washington state lawmakers for almost two decades that laws empowering unions risk turning Puget Sound into a 21st century rust belt. But if this is the first step of a move by Boeing to leave the region, it would still take years or decades to complete it. 178 members of the U.S. Congress have signed a letter to the National Mediation Board asking for a change in the way union elections are held in the railroad and airline industries. Currently, when a vote is taken for union representation, organizers are required to gain a majority among all workers who would be covered by the agreement. That assumes that workers who do not vote are voting no. The letter notes that the current system encourages employers to conduct voter suppression campaigns and adds, quote, "In any election, there are a variety of reasons why eligible voters may not vote. The process is all the more flawed in a setting where voter rolls include significant numbers of furloughed employees who are not in regular communication with other voters," unquote. The specific request is for a system in which only a majority of workers who vote would be required. Republic Airways Holdings says it will add up to 300 full-time positions in Indianapolis next year. As a result, the company will be eligible to receive up to about $4 million in economic incentives through the end of 2019, based on the actual number of new jobs created in Indianapolis. The job additions are part of Republic's consolidation of its business operations functions to its Indianapolis headquarters. They come partially at the expense of the Denver area, where 140 jobs will be lost to relocation. Republic notes it will still employ more than 3,500 employees in Denver. Chief Operating Officer Wayne Heller explained, quote, "In planning the acquisitions of Frontier and Midwest Airlines, we identified several areas where we could strengthen our business by leveraging operations and creating cost efficiencies across the company's network. Basing all our branded carriers' operations functions in Indianapolis will allow us to streamline our processes, reduce overhead and redundancies, and better position the company for continued success during these challenging economic times," unquote. The changes are expected to be complete by the end of the second quarter of 2010. Still ahead, Copa Airlines loves its new 737s. A new turboprop crop duster gets its first customer. And a glass air builder says he'll take his finished Sportsman home to China. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Copa Airlines says it has placed an order for two Boeing 737-800s to be delivered in the second half of 2010. This new order brings to 15 the number of next-gen 737s that Copa Airlines has ordered this year. Copa CEO Pedro Heilbrunn explains, quote, "The next generation 737 plays a major role in achieving our goal of offering our passengers world-class service, the most extensive route network in Latin America, and one of the youngest fleets in the continent," unquote. Copa was the first carrier in the Americas to incorporate blended winglets on its 737s. It was also the first in the region to order 737s with a vertical situation display system, which provides pilots with an easy-to-understand flight path view. A joint venture between Bosheng Global AG and Intersynex AG of Switzerland has signed on as the launch customer for the Thrush 510 aerial applicator. That's a new 510-gallon crop duster with a gross weight of 10,500 pounds. The plane is powered by the GE H80. That's an 800-shaft horsepower turboprop power plant patterned after the M601 engine family. The venture has plans to operate the Thrush 510 in Kazakhstan, which is the world's seventh largest producer of grains and a major exporter of wheat. Paul Bosheng, president of Bosheng Global, notes, quote, "We predict a growing opportunity for modern agricultural aircraft in Kazakhstan and neighboring countries. Our plan is to purchase additional aircraft for this market in the future," unquote. The Thrush features a 29,000-hour wing spar life with no mandatory inspections of the wing spars. The plane is built around a tubular steel fuselage and cockpit roll cage with removable fuselage skins and chromate-treated aluminum surfaces for corrosion prevention. The goal of the design is to maximize pilot safety and aircraft productivity and reduce maintenance. And finally today, one of the current participants in Glassair's 2 weeks to taxi builder assist program is Xukang Si, a Chinese national who intends his Sportsman 2 plus 2 to be the first experimental aircraft in China. It's not clear exactly what that process will be. Although there have been home-built aircraft flown in China, they're illegal, and as a result of being forced underground, some of them are downright scary in their crudeness. In contrast, Xi's high-performance, high-wing, four-place will feature a glass panel and synthetic vision. Xi acknowledges there is not yet a recognized home-built category in China and says he'll fly his plane first with an N number. Quote, "I am so excited about building and flying my Sportsman that I am planning an around-the-world flight," unquote. Glassair notes its 2 weeks to taxi program complies with the FAA's new guidance on the 51% rule, allowing customers to build the Sportsman with guidance from factory mechanics. Airfare from China not included. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, attendees at last month's AOPA summit comment on President Craig Fuller's first year at the helm. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.